السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. We are discussing the history of Islam in Russia. We are discussing the second stage, which is the Mongol period, where we've discussed how from the years 1236 to the 1550s, the Mongols have ruled this area, which makes up most of Western Russia today. The Mongols initially invaded the area and later on accepted Islam. And subhanallah, Islam becomes the state religion of the northwestern province of the Mongol Empire, which is known as the Golden Horde and which covers most of Western Russia today. We've spoken about the different sultans and how the very famous scholar and traveler Ibn Battuta rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi visits the area and meets Sultan Uzbeg, and we've spoken about his travels there. It is also during this period, between the 13th and 14th centuries in the Golden Horde, that Tasawwuf, Sufism, was brought into the Volga region. Now we might be thinking, why are we discussing Tasawwuf and Sufism? We have discussed the very influential role of Tasawwuf in the spread of Islam in China, and we spoke about its very influential role in the spread of Islam in Indonesia. In the Volga region, it was no different. And Tasawwuf provided an easy platform for the local peoples to revert. It somehow gels with the Central Asian and the East Asian mind, and it makes Islam a lot easier for them to understand. And thanks to the efforts of many Sufi da'is, Islam was no longer limited to being the religion of the rulers and the scholars, but it became deeply rooted in the countryside among the local populations and even among the nomadic tribes. In 1445, later on, with the weakening of the Golden Horde, Kazan became the capital of an independent Tatar Khanate, as we will see very soon. It was a very wealthy city, a world capital in fur trade, a brilliant cultural center, famous for numerous madrasas and masajid. And it was during this period that a new tasawwuf, a new Sufi brotherhood became active in Kazan. It is known as the Naqshbandiya Tariqa. And we have discussed the founder of the Tariqa, and we spoke a little bit about it when we spoke about Uzbekistan in the past, as the founder is buried there. This Tariqa particularly played a huge role in opposing Russian advances in the Northern Caucasus later on in Russian history, which inshallah we will discuss as well. It was an intellectual order representing the city elites, and we do know that the Naqshbandiyas, they practiced the silent dhikr, which is very different to some of the other tariqas, like the Yasawiya tariqa, which had some very extreme forms of tasawwuf and extreme forms of dhikr as well. So Naqshbandiya becomes very influential in Tatar literature, and also most of the poets of Tatar origin were linked to this tariqa from the 16th to the 19th centuries later on. So there were many other tariqas, as well as the Rifa'i tariqa, which was found in the Caucasus region. We haven't really spoken much about the Caucasus because it was only the southeastern part of the Caucasus around Derbent where Islam had consolidated and had become a major religion. The rest of the Caucasus, Islam was still very small. Most of the areas were not on the trade routes. There were many mountainous regions, and Islam really hadn't reached there and taken root there. During the Mongol rule, the Islam in the Caucasus ceased to be exclusively the religion of the rulers and the elites, as we said, because of the tasawwuf, and became more deeply rooted in the popular elements. The Caucasus was split and divided between two rival Mongol khanates. There were four different khanates of the Mongol of the previous empire of Genghis Khan. One of them was the Golden Horde, which we are discussing, which is most of Russia. A certain portion of the Caucasus became part of the Ilkhanate Khanate of the Mongols, which controlled Iran and obviously part of the South Caucasus. So they had a little bit of a difference in terms of the rule as well. So the Golden Horde, this mighty Mongol province, It went on successfully until 1340, when fleas brought the Black Plague to Asia and to Europe, which killed thousands of people who were taxpayers and producers, and the losses hit the Golden Horde very hard. So as of 1359, there were four claimants to the throne of the Great Khanate. There were also Slavic, Russian, and Tatar city-states which were beginning to rise, and the world of the Mongols amongst themselves became so roiled that the Golden Horde lost contact with the main government center in Mongolia, and the Golden Horde disintegrates into smaller Khanates. It's split into a number of different Khanates: the Khanate of Kazan, the Khanate of Astrakhan, the Crimean Khanate, Siberian Khanate, the Great Horde, the Nogai Horde, the White Horde, and these were basically the Khanates which the Golden Horde split into. Just looking at two or three of them, inshallah, very quickly. The Kazan Khanate, which was a successor to the Golden Horde, had its center in Kazan. It was known as Tataristan, or the land of the Tatars, and it's still on the banks of the Volga River. And during this Khanate, whilst they were ruling, Muslim Turkic culture and literature flourished after its founding, and it became a very powerful Khanate in the region. The area of Siberia was controlled by the Sibir Khanate, also a Muslim Khanate, and it was ruled over a very ethnically diverse population. There were Turkic, Siberian Tatars, there were Bashkirs, there were various peoples of the Ural Mountains, and Islam was the professed religion of the Sibir Khanate. There were a number of different masajid, of palaces and fortified walls, all of this in what is Siberia today. It was the northernmost Muslim state in recorded history, and its territories even included parts of the shore of the Arctic Ocean. And lastly, we have, the last Khanate which we will discuss was that of the Crimean Khanate. The Crimean Khanate was initially independent, but in 1475, the Ottoman forces is very, very close to Turkey, and the Ottoman forces had conquered this area, and the Khanate becomes a protectorate of the Ottoman Empire. Because it is under the umbrella of the Ottoman Empire, it is the longest lived of the Turkic Khanates that succeeded the Golden Horde. And it was initially established in 1441, and it carried on right till 1783. It not only the Khanate included the Crimean Peninsula, and also ruled the adjacent steppes and many of the corresponding parts of South Ukraine as well. So that's just an overview of the disintegration of the Golden Horde, and inshallah ta'ala, in the next episode, we will discuss the very last aspect of the second stage of the Mongol rule, where Taimur Lung comes to this area, inshallah.